Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you might be on this wonderful planet, and welcome to the creative field. My name is Jeannie Martin, and I am your host here on bbsradio.com. Every second Sunday, rain or shine, 8 o'clock PST, the creative field. Let me just tell you a little bit about the creative field and why it was created in the first place. It's a program that offers creative solutions to a sustainable life on planet Earth. We look at our world today, and sometimes we might say, well, what are we going to do about this? What do we do now? So this show is here to focus on what is possible and to learn from people who work hard to make things actually happen and to sustain and maintain a healthy natural environment that's going to support the life of our children and our children's children. And for those who care about the mind and body and spirit aspects of all life on Earth, not just human life, every bit of life, from our environment to the animals that we share this planet with. So we are here tonight, and I really want to remind everyone that we are online because of the supporters, the emissaries of Divine Light, British Columbia, and Edenvale Retreat Center in Abbotsford, BC. For those of you that are not familiar with Edenvale, please visit our website at www.edenvaleretreat.ca and have a look around Edenvale and pick up on some of our calendar events that everybody is welcome to come and share with us. So before I introduce my special guest and my friend tonight, I'd just like to invite everybody to call in with questions or comments for our guest or myself by dialing toll-free 888-627-6008. Your input is really appreciated and your thoughts are very valuable. So please feel free to call. You can call that number toll-free all evening while we're here with you. So tonight's guest is a very special guest to me, a very dear friend of mine, and I'm not here to interview him. We're here to have a heartfelt conversation. My guest tonight is Capilano, the hereditary head of the Squamish Nation, and my very, very close friend. I've come to know him and to love and appreciate him over the last few years, and I'm very excited to share his knowledge with you tonight as we talk about what we might bring forward from the hereditary wisdom of our elders. I know that my grandchildren are listening tonight, maybe not all of them, but I know some of them are. And it's for these children and my great-granddaughter and their future, because we believe, Capilano and I both believe, that the wisdom that gets passed down from the generations is different than what you're going to get on Google, because the wisdom that's passed down from the generations is passed down to our children with love. And there's a big difference there. So without further ado, I want to introduce my friend and a wonderful man with a lot of wisdom, Capilano. Welcome.
Hi, I'm glad to be here with you. And as you said, I'm the hereditary leader of the sovereign Squamish government. And my family for generations has been the head. And when I say generations, I mean each generation being, like my grandfather was 200 years old when he died in 1959. So generations could mean maybe 600 years or whatever. I just wanted to give you a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I was thinking this morning, as thinking about the generations of my family that have been here in British Columbia and actually in Vancouver. We're now six generations, but when I think about that, that's about 150 years, and I know that your generations go back a way further than that. How long do you know that your people of the Squamish and your family have been here in this area. Where did they originally come from? Tell us a little bit about that.
The only thing I ever got from my grandfather, and it was passed down from generation to generation, is that we were always here. We are the original people of this land, and we've been here since time began, as far as I know. So I'm not going to... What was told to me from my grandfather and my dad is that was it. We were here. We were the original people of the land here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get down to how we lived, it was even the last years of my grandfather, the last 3 years I spent with him, and it was a beautiful thing to see. And even though I knew most of how he survived and everything, it was amazing to watch him do some of the things that he did. He was a farmer, never worked for anybody else. And amazing some of the things that he did that I still recall and know how to do, but I haven't right now got I haven't been into farming, but I know how to farm, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the reasons why Capilano and I have come together tonight is our deep knowledge and of the importance of passing down certain pieces of information through the generations. And a concern that our children are losing those types of connections. You know, I've got a friend who says that Google is God.
You're kidding.
No.
Well,
and so, in other words, if you want to learn something, you just put Google up, and you don't ask your grandmother or your grandfather.
Well, when I grew up, all we had was radio, and then we used to sit as a family together and listen to the radio, and it brought us closer together. And much love and appreciation about that, those types of, say, like Green Lantern and Only the Shadow Knows and whatever.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful time when we sat together. And it was the same with dinner. When the last meal of the day, we all sat together and we'd spend an hour and a half sitting at the table just enjoying our dinner. It was something to enjoy.
Yeah. And, for those young people that are listening to us tonight, it seems hard to imagine that even in my lifetime, and I'm not anywhere near dead yet, I remember the first television. There wasn't such a thing as a computer, and when the first computer came in, it took up an entire building for one computer. So the technology that has happened in the last 50 years, just that little tiny blip of history, has turned our world completely around. And I would venture to say that technology, as wonderful as it is, because if you want something to happen fast, technology will do it for you. But what I'm concerned about is that it's taken over our common sense. I don't know too many of us that if the lights went out and the power went out for 3 months, we wouldn't know what to do. No more Safeway.
Absolutely.
No more Superstar.
Absolutely. Well... If you want to put it that way, let's refer to my grandfather again, because I remember back in the 40s when he was on his farm, I'd seen many things there, but when an airplane went by, he'd stop everything and just watch it, and then a few times I was there to talk to him, and he'd say, how does it stay up there? How does it do that? So imagine him coming from the time that he did, and then to see all that he did by the time he went in 59 when he died. There were jet planes, and he couldn't believe what he saw. It was amazing to him.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it scared him, and it scares me now to see, what the computers and the cell phones and everything are doing to the generation. Now, with the radiation that comes out of the phones and the brainwashing out of the TV, it's gone too far. We have to get a hold of our children and teach them how to do the easy things that bring the family together.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that technology is a bad thing, but there needs to be some balance. If you put everything in that direction, and it fails you, you have nothing to back up. Like, my grandmother, and again, I'm thinking of the generations that you come from and the knowledge there is just amazing. But my grandfather, my grandmother, had a garden out in her backyard. And it's not because everybody was dirt poor. It was because if you eat live food, you stay healthy. You feel different. You have more energy. And that's what's happening today. Like, the technology might be speeding up things like the internet, but it's also trying to speed up things like the production of food. Everything from the animals to the food that we eat now is genetically modified. And just for your information, if you want to know something's genetically modified or not, look at that little barcode on it. And if the first number is 8, it's a genetically modified piece of food, which is you might as well be eating a whole bunch of pesticides, and you're eating something that was changed from its original source and design. So I'm concerned, Capilano. Things like our water. If you don't know where your water's coming from, you're in trouble. You need to always know where your water and your food are coming from. Isn't that right?
Well, that is a very serious matter to be, you know, to consider, because BC is one of the most wealthiest as far as water is concerned, and yet a great portion of our rivers are becoming polluted and they have to be taken care of. And there's a lot of time yet for the future generations to really look into it and for us to get things started and put it back on the right track and take care of our water, because there's a book out now where water is the next gold, and you have to find that book wherever it is, and that's the title of it, Water, the Next Gold. So that is, and it's true, we need water is life, and we have to take care of our water.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's important for our children to know that you don't have to be prepared to be in the woods for the next 6 months and survive on nothing, but basic survival, I think that every person should have at least some of that knowledge. And we were talking earlier, weren't we, about how you could go out in the woods and you'd know what to eat and know how to build a fire. Go ahead and tell them about that.
I could go and dress as I am with a sweater in any kind of weather in the winter. I was trained from an early age by my dad and my grandfather how to survive in the woods and what to look for. So I know exactly what to look for and how to build a fire, even in a gale, wind. Even without matches, I can do it, but I always carry matches. It makes it life a bit easier. I guess I'm getting, you know, I'm not what my grandfather and them used to be without the matches. But it's simple. You can make a shelter and survive in even the coldest, and I've done it already, even my young age. I was lost in the woods for 3 days in the winter time with just a shirt, and it was raining, and I survived by doing what I was taught, and it's amazing. You lose all your, well, I didn't lose my fear. I heard wild animals and well, that's another story, but yes, there is, it's very important to understand the various different routes that you can survive on and leave that you can. Even our medicines are all from, we never had doctors before. I know many of the medicines, leaves and trees and roots that we use for everything, the diseases that we have. And I'd like to pass it on, and I will eventually with a friend of mine. We'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I'm really glad to see that people are starting to consider things like having their own backyard gardens again. Because at least then you have control of that dirt that you're putting that food into. I just read a very disturbing thing about potatoes. If you want to get something that's one of the most polluted things, it's potatoes, because it sucks up all of the chemical stuff that's in the dirt, and then it gets embedded into the potato, and then they go and bleach it to keep it white and to get rid of the little knobs on them that grow more potatoes.
Yeah.
So, hey, if you're going to eat any potatoes out there, grow your own potatoes. That's one thing I can, after reading that today, I'm certainly not going to eat any more of those potatoes that aren't organic. That's for sure. Now, I think another thing that's important for the young people to know, and when you were young and you were living with the land, we were talking about this also, that people used to get prepared for the seasons. You knew winter was coming up. You knew when the spring was coming and you needed to plant, right? Basic knowledge.
Well, I think even the pioneers that came to the country here, they've had root cellars, they had, and we did the same thing. We used everything underground. As a matter of fact, a lot of our houses that, you know, that were, we hunted in different areas, and I went with my grandfather a few times because he knew where everything was, and he had caves around where he lived that were cozy, you know, you could build, they were vented and cozy, and you could build, they're not there anymore. And what happened to these caves? But they were vented, and he put a fire in them, so you weren't ever going to be, you always had the oxygen. I don't know how that happened. But it was warm. It was like as warm as your home is here now, the way he made it feel.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew there was a supply of everything there. And it was amazing the way they did things for travel. That was one of his stops, like summer home or whatever. But he did so many things different now than we do. He did. He took care of all of his life. He was a farmer. He grew berries, and it was unbelievable. I remember about 8 rows of raspberries because he sold them, you know, to the neighbors and whatever for his coffee. He never worked for anybody else. And these raspberries were huge, juicy, and tasty, and he had methods that I can't understand to this day, and he said, one day you will. He used salt water, and he'd have these big wooden kegs built at the end of each row, and here we are 3/4 mile away from salt water. How did he get the water there? See, so he had methods that I will understand one day, and I think I do now, but those kinds of things were. He said you needed a certain amount of salt water in the soil because all the minerals are being washed from the hills into the salt water, and then you needed to put them back in the soil. I remember that very clearly, and it worked to perfection as far as he was concerned.
He sounds like a pretty amazing guy. You were telling me a story today about him and the bear.
Well, that was part of our nature. We animals were part of us. We loved animals, and we still do. The majority of my people, they have a way with animals. We had, when I was young, we had a bear in the family that was orphaned, and here's what would happen. That wasn't the only one. This particular bear was killed eventually, but they would grow the bear up. It would be tamed like a pet, and then they had a ceremony that would turn that bear back to the wild. In other words, it would be capable of going back into the wild and surviving without ever coming back and relying on humans again. And I was telling you earlier that they did the same thing with babies. They had another ceremony where you could take a baby that cried all night and was up all day, up all night and slept all day. They did a ceremony with that, and they took what they called turn the baby around and then sleep all night and then be awake in the day, and it really worked. That was amazing. And so we had ways of doing things, and we had medicines that are still there. However, you have to go further in the woods to get them now because of the pollution.
Yeah. But they're still there.
They are
still there. Yeah. You know, I'm going to have to get that knowledge about how to turn that baby around for my granddaughter Season, who who's got the new baby who thinks day is night and night is day.
it really works.
Yeah.
There are very few of our people that know any of these things anymore. It's a shame that this type of thing is being lost from the, as you say, the TVs and the whatever else that are ruling our young generation.
And that's why we're here tonight. We're here tonight because we are grandparents and great-grandparents, and we know from the experience of our own lives and the lives of our ancestors, my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, they used to tell us and teach us in that way and make us strong so that we could go out in the world and survive no matter what happened to us. And I feel blessed by that type of training completely. And, you know, I think today, too, that another thing to pass on to the children and to the children's children, that if you live in this world, it doesn't matter where you live, who your family is, what your culture is, what your religious belief is or not, that the important thing in life itself to sustain your own life and to assist your brothers and sisters, no matter what culture they are, where, no matter what background they are, is integrity, keeping your word, having a word, and standing behind that word, whatever it is. Integrity and truth. What do you think of that?
Absolutely, and I think that's another part of our, can we say, the people that have lost all of that through cell phones and computers. It just is no more, you know, we discussed that earlier about what they show on TV. You've lost the, when I was young, if there was a TV, there was no sex, you know, and they wore dresses that would, most of the legs were hidden. Now they get out there and there's nothing left to the imagination, and just putting it that way.
Yeah.
It's the way it is nowadays, and that's why we should get back to a lot of the old ways where, let me tell you about changing the subject a little bit here, back to our fish, for instance. They're almost gone now, and it's up to us to get things going for your grandchildren and all the people that have for the next generation, period. We know the salmon are in danger, and we know there's many, many forms of wildlife that are in danger that we have to act now, and I think it's imperative that we get going and change what's happening now for your children and their children's children, as we did our when we talked about generations for the next seven generations, and you think about it, they lived to 200 years old, so you're talking 1,400 years or whatever. So seven generations isn't enough to guard what the future is. We have to really look at, in 1940, I remember seeing films, and I knew it because I was up there, and they would have these huge freighters that would come and take the fish by the millions. Now there aren't any, and they said at the time, and they were almost right, that they would never run out, but it's come to a stage now where we have to all, the young and have to start thinking of the future of this planet. It's getting to a point now where it's in danger.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, another thing that I'd like to say to my children, money doesn't make you important. It may go buy you those Nike running shoes or whatever it is that you think you want in the moment, but it doesn't make you important. We were talking about that today, too. How did you put that?
Well, I met a friend of mine the other day, and the first thing he said, oh, look at this guy here. He's got $2.5 million, and that's how they measure the man. And I think that is a way out of line. What about integrity, as you just finished talking about, and the man's personality and whatever? Where did the guy get the money to start with anyway? Now, that's what happened to society nowadays. They judge the man by the wealth and his earthly possessions rather than how good the man is and what he stands for.
Yeah. And, you know, also I think that we've come to believe somehow that the government is our elders. And we forget that any government that we elect, we're electing them, we're hiring them. Just like you would hire them for any other job that we're all doing. And it's a responsibility if we hire them and they don't do the job, we've got to get rid of them. Simple as that. And that's a pretty simple system. But we, and I remember, because we come from the 50s and the 60s when we were teenagers. And one thing I can say that I think we did for the kids is we broke the mold. I can remember looking at gatherings of people, listening to people like Churchill, and there's like 100,000 guys out there with hats on, not a woman in the bunch, and you can't tell me all those guys wanted to wear a hat. So when rock and roll came in, and the Beatles, and all of the peace, the love, the all the stuff, yeah, it looked like the world was going to hell in a handbasket, but we were those people. We were, and we're not dead yet. No. So we broke the mold. Now, we've broken it, and that doesn't mean that it's shattered into pieces, but out of that needs to come something that is more, I don't know, back to love, for one thing, and more sustaining of life itself. We had a great time, but now this wisdom is here, and it needs to kick in.
Absolutely. Getting back first to the leadership that you called upon, I mean, that we hire the government to work for us, and they've lost that their bearings a long time ago. They're not working for you now. They're ruling, and they're becoming wealthy with nepotism and insider trading. There's so much corruption in there now. If we want to touch on that subject, where I am a leader of my people, and I don't care what I do. I'm there to lead them and to love them, and it's built in me. It is there that I have to do it. And I'm just the voice of my people. I'll put it that way, and I won't do anything. I've been offered huge sums of money from various positions here. I know where they're from, but I can't mention them. So it's to go a certain way, but I can't. If you're a leader, you have to get out there. And so far, you don't hear anything from me, but we're working on it. We're trying to make a better world. And I think with the opportunity to talk on your show like this, to get out to the people and to reach them out, and, you know, to reach them is another way of getting to it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's something to be said about having courage to be who you are. I don't think you or I are trying to get our kids to be anything other than really who they are. And we also talked earlier about living your passion. Not just getting a job, but living your passion.
Well, as I said, we're working, and we want to do the first thing that the system that they have going here to teach the people now is to teach them the way that we just mentioned a few minutes ago. That look at this man, he's worth $2 or $3 million, and then he's judged and he's put on a higher rung on the ladder because he has that money, but he's not happy. I know so many people out there that are making big bucks that you put in high salaries, and they're not happy at what they do, so they don't do a good job. They manage to get by, but as long as the money comes in, and that's exactly what's happened to our politicians. There's so much money that they control that they've totally lost the feeling for the people and who they work for, and the people are just like a herd of sheep now that just are herded off into any direction. As a matter of fact, a politician told me that. He says, when you calm them down, and then they'll be okay again, and then we can go on. You might as well say taking their money through the taxes and not putting it in the proper places.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have a real advantage here in the west coast of Canada because we are a multicultural society here. So many different people representing so many different countries. And I know we have there's different thoughts around that. But, you know, I want to know, Cap, who put the boundaries on this land anyway? Who put the lines on North America to say, this is my side of the line and this is yours? Is this planet not given by God to everyone?
Well, it belongs to everyone, and that's the way we think now. And I've been in touch with many of the leaders of the unceded, unsold land of British, what you know as British Columbia, and they all feel like I do. There's enough here for all of us, but none of us are getting any of it. It's the government that is giving it away to these huge corporations who are mining away the wealth, and we're not getting, and none of us are getting any of it except the tax part of it, where you got to keep paying taxes, and that's why we have to stand up and change whatever's here. There's going to be a future, and that brings, entails everything here, your rivers, your water, and everything. It's all being privatized through the government, and it's time for us to stand up together for the children and their future.
Yeah, and you know, and for those that are listening that do work for governments, and that we're not talking about the individual that goes to work and does their job and doesn't really, you know, does their part of the job. And perhaps all of us now, I mean, I can remember when I was in my 20s and my 30s, I didn't give two hoots about stuff like this because, first of all, I thought the life was forever. And when you're that age, you've got all this energy that you just want to go out in all different directions and not really talk about anything that's very serious. But here we are now, and the difference is we've come to a very serious time, and I want my children to listen and still be themselves and still go and have their lives and do whatever it is that they want to do, but have that basic knowledge that we're trying to tell them here.
Well, for me, it's different, but as you know, for the last 5 years, I've turned aside any monies that are coming, and I won't go so far as to say that, but I haven't for the last 5 years paid any taxes. I haven't done any of that. It's not that I think that I'm cheating the people. It's just that the government is taxing, and the money isn't going. If you looked at, for instance, the gas tax that they collect, is enough to take care of all the roads all the way to the moon and back 20 times with the gas money. You know, the tax that they charge out, none of it is going through anywhere. All the taxes are that way. They're overtaxing the people. So we have to get real about this and change it and have the government that works for you, like you said earlier, to work for you instead of working to get your money.
You know, that another thing that I think, you know, these things manifest in, say, the government that doesn't serve the people. But, you know, Cap, when I look at how we think of each other, like, I've always loved community living. And that doesn't mean that everybody's on everybody's knee. But I like the sense of community living and, like, much have been tribal living in communities together, where everybody worked together and played together and supported each other. And now it seems like we're all going in different directions, and I'm wondering, what do we do to pull us back into that sense of belonging again? Because without each other, we're not going to survive.
Well, it starts with the education. They start training you from a very young age how to make the top dollar and get into a field where, when you're looking at life and you're getting into, you know, middle grades and into grade 12, where you got to, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be something. So you go into a field that you don't enjoy, or you don't enjoy the work, and that's where your life changes really, because you're trained, you're brainwashed to think that you got to make all this money to keep up with the Joneses. Am I getting off trail?
No, go for it.
But that's precisely what's happened to the world. That's why you don't get family dinners with your sitting down together. When they do sit down, they're there for 10 minutes and they've gulped the food and gone. That should be a time of enjoyment when you can sit and talk, and then that's where love is. And that's the big word, love, that is appearing from the families nowadays. It's all trained to look at how much money I can make and the nicer car that you can have, a better home. We all deserve to have a beautiful home in this earth, and we all can. There's enough here for all of us. It should be not judged. We can build one for $10 million. Everybody should be able to have a home like that. It's not just the rich. It should be all of us are rich, and we stand down and look at ourselves.
I think, too, this idea of working together in community. I remember when I first had my kids, and at the time we needed to help pay the rent, so we lived in a house with other people, and people used to say to me, "Are you nuts? I couldn't stand living with anybody else." Well, I mean, those kinds of ways of thinking are what bring us to where we're at today. Why is it that you couldn't stand to live with somebody else?
Well, if we can do it, as I said, I'm in touch with the top hereditaries in about the seven nations that really are in BC, and right now there's about 30, according to what service, divide and conquer was the way they did, took over the land here for now. But, I mean, the people, the ones that are there, think exactly like we do. There's enough here for all of us. There's enough for, and that's the whole picture. If we could only sit down and look and to be ourselves and to, you know, to be able to live with each other. In the earlier days, we were, shall we say, picked on more than other nations or whatever you want to call it, but and I did have a lot of anger and hatred in me, but that's all gone now. You have to realize that we're all one on this earth, and I really feel that now. There's so many good people from every race here that I'm blessed to be here and to be able to see what it is now.
Yeah, exactly. And I do. I feel the same way, that we are rich because of our multicultures. I mean, so many new people that teach me so many more things from their cultural backgrounds. And you talked about love. I wonder what love means to some people now. You know, it's a word that's been thrown around in so many different directions. It's, to me, it's that deep, abiding understanding that there is only one great spirit. I don't care what kind of book you read that takes you down what kind of road, whether what religion you are, what spiritual belief system you are, but there is a great spirit here on this planet. And under that great spirit, we're equal, are we not?
Well, yeah, and you don't have to dress up and go into a big church on Sunday, you know, when the way we did it, we talked to the Creator. We call him the Creator because I've had dealings with other religions and not fussy about their... Anyway, the real thing is you can sit in your own living room or wherever you are and get further ahead by talking to the Creator, and I do it all the time, and I feel as if he's right there, and he is right there. He's with you all the time, and I think that if the people did it that way instead of dressing up and trying to look pretty in front of a bunch of other people and kneeling down in some church with somebody up there claiming and then confessing in some kind of a confessional box all your sins to some other human, it isn't right to me. I think you talk directly to the Creator, and that's the way it works the best.
I know that you have a lot of connection with the Creator. You're very intuitive. Very psychic.
Well, I think everybody really does. It's just a matter of getting back to it. And I think you touched on that earlier with the TVs and the cell phones and the now generation here. I have to admit, though, that I can't run the computers or anything that the way they can. It's just,
yeah.
I know how to turn on the radio. Yeah.
You know, I'm excited about our future. I was at the birth of just about all of my 7 grandchildren, and the difference that I noticed was the minute they were born, they look right into your eyes. These are very evolved souls. And I want them to know that we've lived long enough to see the difference. And when they were born, I mean in seconds, they were looking straight into your eyes. Because they knew that they'd come here for a special reason. And as I whatever grandchildren are listening to Grandma right now, you are those people. And I have faith that the Great Spirit is bringing back those that can help us.
Absolutely. You don't need... I wasn't born in the hospital, and a lot of my family weren't. My grandfather wasn't. My dad was. Well, he might have been. I think at that time he was, because there was the trouble with my grandmother then. But I wasn't born, but when I came along, they just... the Department of Indian Affairs sort of said, well, you're roughly 8 years old, and just gave me an age and said, well, you were born. You know what I mean?
So they just gave you an age?
Yeah, and a name besides, because I've since taken my own name back, and I'm totally not, I don't answer the other name that was given to me.
I never knew that name, and I don't want it because you're Capilano to me.
I never used the name anymore. I mean, it's only been 5 years, but I want to tell you people that are listening out there, I feel free, and I'm not attached to I don't collect any money from them. I totally live away from their system, no taxes. And right now we're currently working, having our own driver's license, cars, and everything. And we're working together to make a better world. And starting with Squamish, and then we can change the whole world if everybody realizes how good it is just to be free and to be yourself.
Yeah, to be free and to be yourself. I just want to remind everyone, if anyone is wanting to call in, that you can call and ask Capilano any question you like by dialing 888-627-6008. You know, Cap, I think, too, when I look at our world, I can't help but look at it and not take personal responsibility for it. We ended up the way that we are by our apathy. We went, we'll let somebody else do it. And it became a pretty easy thing. You could just take a little piece of plastic and go get yourself a pair of shoes. You didn't even have, you could just do it on credit. You didn't even have to work for it. So, I mean, that's kind of cool in the moment, but it doesn't sustain the world in the long run.
Yeah, well, there's an old saying by the Hopi that we are the ones we've been waiting for. But even at a young age, I knew I wasn't waiting. I knew that I wasn't waiting for anybody else. And as you know, and I'm not saying too much on we're working towards that goal now. And I don't even like to be, sometimes you don't want to be who you are, but you are who you are, so you have to do what you have to do. I don't know whether that made any sense or not.
It makes sense to me.
We're working to make a better world here, and you know you're part of it, and so it's just a matter of time. There's so many good people out there that don't realize that they're slaves on this earth and always have been, and it's time to change that around and be ourselves and to be happy and to have love and everything to serve in your life.
You know, somebody told me once that if you know your grandparents, you're not going to go to jail. I think there's something to be said about elders, because when we're raising our own kids, you're like every other young parent. There's not enough hours in the day. There's not enough money at the end of the month and all of that stuff. But when you get to be grandparents, you look back on things in a whole different way. And there is such love and understanding for what the young people are going through. You know what you went through in your life. You went through a lot in your life. And to come at this stage in your life and to feel free, to feel love and forgiveness and all of the things that you're trying to bring to the world now and what we're trying to do in this one short hour that we have with the people that are listening, I feel honored to be here with you. I know that you carry a lot of hereditary wisdom with you.
Well, in the way that you put the questions here, I'm sort of guided in that direction because you'd need 2 years of me talking steady and listen to what I really had to say and how we can really achieve our goals. But doing it the way we're doing it now, we're working sort of behind the scenes, and it's going to happen. It really is, and we're very near doing it. It's our country, and I don't mean by, as you know us, Indians or First Nations or whatever you want to call us. It is our country, and we want to share it. Like when you first came here, the Europeans first came, we shared it. We gave them. We were not savages. We loved even then. We were kind. We helped them and everything. We want to still help them, and let's bring this country back to the way it used to be. Even when I was young, it was a paradise.
Yeah. Where were you brought up, in what area of BC?
Well, I mostly in North Vancouver, but up in the Squamish, where all the eagles were. And when I was young, there was so many, you know, the Brackendale area. But what you saw there in the last few years is nothing. There used to be thousands upon thousands of eagles. And the old saying is, when the condor meets the eagle, there will be peace on earth. And I think we are from the land of the eagles here, and we're very close to the condor right now. So.
Yeah. You know, that great spirit, and that's why I look forward to the rest of our lives and the lives of our children. I know we have to do something, and I know things need to be turned around, but I'm fully convinced that that ship is being turned around. And with what we've learned, you know, wisdom doesn't come from doing everything right. Wisdom comes from living life and learning just as much from what didn't work than getting it right the first time. And I sit here at the end of my life and go, oh, I know a lot of things I did that just didn't work. But that's where wisdom comes from, and that's why I appeal to the children to listen to those elders, because they want to help you be who you are and give you the wisdom that you need for your own survival so that you can teach it to your children. In another generation, there might not be this wisdom left to give if we don't pass it on now.
Well, I don't think there'd be much left here the way that it's going now if we don't stop this government from destroying our land, selling you out to these huge corporations, all these gold-digging countries that are using fracking as a form of fracturing the earth and then using cyanide, destroying our water. If you knew what I knew, that you wouldn't be being led by guidelines here, I'd get into, but I, you know, how I respect you. You're my dear friend. So we'll go according. There's so much to talk about, you know, that we could really. As I said earlier, the animals have more love than the humans now, and I've seen it. You can see it with your dogs how they. And then there's no compassion left of what used to be when I was young. Everybody was, even though at that time they wanted to were able to make a dollar, they were still compassion. They still cared for each other and somehow kept things going. But that's gone now with the way of the fish is disappearing.
It's not too late, is it? No, not at all.
We have people that have come forth to us and in our sovereign Squamish government that know how to, you know, to, let's put it this way, there's some that can actually neutralized atomic waste. There's some of them that can make electricity on a little board that can do, it costs nothing to run it and run a whole household. And there's cars around that don't run on gas, that run on water. Everything is there, but they're scared to upset the economy, whatever that balance means, but it has to be done sooner or later.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I want to get back to this thing too about encouraging the kids to look into how easy it is to grow your own garden, so that when you're feeding your children, you know you're giving them live food, not just filler and chemicals. It's an easy thing to do. And one thing we need to do right now is we need to get the seeds that can create food that will make other seeds that will create food and go all the way down through the generations, because most of the food we're eating right now, you can't stick it in a piece of dirt and have it grow again like we used to put the potatoes in. So you got to get hereditary seeds.
Yeah, you got to get the original thing. I think Monsanto was destroying all kinds of tomatoes and whatever by putting out these. You know, you heard of them making square tomatoes a while back, didn't you?
Square tomatoes, yeah, can you imagine?
No seeds and whatever, no more seeds than watermelon. You need the original seeds, you know, to grow everything. And even at a young age, we had our own garden, and Mom and Dad used to watch how we grew everything. They would help us along. And I didn't have a green thumb, but everything I put in the ground, it just seemed to grow like wild, and potatoes and tomatoes and everything. And of course, back then, everything was, even that short period of time, and let's say that's 60 years ago or 65 years ago, is a tremendous difference in the earth and the pollution and whatever's here now. So it is really, for all the young people that are listening, we have to change the direction that we're going right now. Otherwise, I dread to think about what lies ahead.
Yeah, if you're not going to grow your own gardens, then at least support your local farmers. Know where that food comes from and what's going on that food. And I know that today organic food costs a little bit more, but you know what? You can eat less and get way more nutrition if you were going to buy live food. And that's just one thing that's really important. And just, I want to encourage my kids to really be who they are, stand in their truth. And to kids today, I was looking at my granddaughter who's got pink hair, and I thought, man, I wish I could have had pink hair 50 years ago, but they probably would have kicked me out of the house.
Definitely.
But, I mean, I respect the fact that the kids are unique and that they're bringing their uniqueness to the world. But when you're doing that, make sure that you know the basic survival of living on planet Earth. You came to live at planet Earth. You didn't come to live in McDonald's. So when you live on planet Earth, there's certain things that you can learn real easily that will, and you pass that knowledge on to your kids down through the generations, just like we are. And you'll know that they'll always be safe, they'll always be fed, and they'll always be healthy. So we're coming almost to the end of our time. Capilano, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart just for being my friend, for being here tonight, for helping me talk to the young people. And like you said, we could sit here for days to listen to all of the different pieces of wisdom. We want you to know that it's a good world. It's a wonderful life. And you are the co-creator of your life, and you do have the responsibility of learning how life runs itself through the natural resources, through nature itself. I got some chickens, and I'm so happy. They're starting to build little chicken coops for people's houses in the city. I think that's pretty exciting.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
Now, the younger kids nowadays, the only way they know how to to get food is to go to the nearest Safeway and pick it off the shelf, but that isn't the way we did it, you know. So get away from that, you know. It's time to do as the doc says here, to have your own garden, and it's a lot of fun watching your very own vegetables and whatever grow.
Yeah.
It's amazing how it's that time where we must do it. I think it's time.
It's time. So thank you all for listening to us tonight. Thank you again, Capilano, for being here with me. And I just wanted to let everyone know that our next show is going to be December 4th. Not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, December 4th at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And my guest is Ted Koons. Ted is a psychotherapist in private practice and an author of the best-selling book, Peace Begins With Me. Ted is a wonderful man that's got a lot of wisdom and experience through having his son, Joshua, have a very serious life condition that changed Ted's life. And since then, I was thinking about him the other night. He's like a one-man band. He's walking around in this world making a huge difference by sharing his wisdom and his experiences and how he came to write the book, Peace Begins With Me. So thank you all for listening, and thanks once again to Emissaries of Divine Light, British Columbia, and Edenvale Retreat Center for supporting this program so that we can bring you wonderful people with wonderful knowledge. And with that, I'd like to say good night, Cap.
Good night, and thanks a lot for having me here, and Haishka.
Haishka. Good night, everyone.